here with you all this evening. I hope that you had as blessed today as I did. Had some good times with the Lord. I was actually, this message I'm going to bring tonight, I was working on a while back, a couple weeks ago, and I set it aside to work on something else, and had a good time developing that. But in the end, the Lord didn't want me to preach that. He wanted me to get into this book of Proverbs and look at just four verses we're going to look in here. The introduction, you know, I love reading the Psalms. I love preaching out of the Psalms and Proverbs, because they have so much for me, you know, to see the heart of that man David, to see the heart that Solomon had for his sons. To me, it's a wonderful thing. It's a God-blessed thing. We can have God's word before us, that we can know his will for our lives, just as he did in those days. It's just as viable and necessary for us. And so I was reading in Proverbs again, and I got stuck in in Proverbs 1. I'm just going to look at the first four verses. We'll be looking at some others and how they relate, but into this introduction into this Proverbs, it's not just into this chapter, but the whole book of Proverbs. This is what it's all about when Solomon was writing about what he would have the best things in life for his son. And so it's not going to be a complicated message. We're going to do a lot of word studies. For you that may be young in the Lord or even old in the Lord, one of the best things and easiest things that you can do is do simple word studies. You know, I often tell, you know, young converts, get you a Bible that doesn't have a bunch of commentary in it, and get a dictionary and a concordance, and then go to work. And you'll be blessed in that. Back in 1982, when I was saved up at Boundary, Alaska, snowed in the winter, and this church sent me a Thompson Chain Reference King James Bible and a concordance and a tape so that I could listen to Pastor Humphrey. Well, it was Gary Hampton preaching, and then Pastor Humphrey later on preaching. And it was a blessing to me. It wasn't very complicated, but you know, I really feel like I got off on the right foot with the Lord in just going into his words and learning to draw truth from it. Just as another aside, one of the best classes that I ever took was Bible Study Methods and Interpretation. I took at Glen Allen Bible College on video years ago, and it helped to give me a framework of how to study Scripture and to know it and to apply it. So let's read. We don't want to leave you too long here tonight. Proverbs 1, verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge, and discretion." And what really got me thinking about this portion of Scripture was that last word, discretion. I kind of had a handle on what the rest of these terms are, though I found out I didn't know as much as I thought I did. But, you know, when I saw that, it popped into my mind years ago. There was a phrase you used to hear, that discretion is the better part of valor. And so, you know, being valor, you know, the hero, John Wayne syndrome kind of thing. I lost that real quick when I got over in Vietnam. But discretion is something that, bottom line here, Solomon is talking to his son that he would have knowledge and wisdom and the discretion to be able to use it. We'll look at some things as we get into this here. Solomon, like any good father, he wanted the best for his sons, and so he charted a course in life focused on the knowledge, hearing God's word, applying it as the for the dictates of scripture for his life. And he gave them, under the inspiration of God, some very truth for his sons and for us today. And these four verses, they demand much more attention than we can be given to them tonight. But another reason I kind of got into this was in a message that Pastor Demlo preached on the 22nd of January. He showed us that having knowledge did not directly equate to having wisdom and making wise judgments. Now, when I went through this, and of course the term wisdom pops up numbers of times, but in those first eight verses, haven't read them, but four times Solomon is talking to his son about instruction. Well, without all these, we're going to look at these different terms here as we go on, but without instruction, how do we learn anything? How do we come to faith? How do we come to be able to understand wisdom and God's word and have the ability to apply it? Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And again, Pastor Demlo made the observation that, well, some people just aren't teachable. It says here, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom." It doesn't end there. And instruction. Instruction is how that we gain God's wisdom. It's through instruction that we understand about justice and judgment and equity. It's how that we understand what true knowledge is as God sees it, and to be able to apply it. Again, Pastor Demlo, in that message after that, he made the statement and the observation as a pastor, how that many times he's seen people, and I've been through it, you know, been a member of this church since 85, I guess. And I've seen lots of single people, individuals come and go, and I've seen a lot of families come and go. And I used to pretty much wonder why, you know, but I've heard it from Pastor Humphrey too, but from Pastor Demlo, he brought it forth that some people just aren't teachable. They will not receive instruction. When they get to a certain point, they can, as long as they can go along with what's coming from the pulpit, but when there's a challenge there, contrary to their a pre-existing mindset that is not scriptural, then the brakes go on. Well, this is where we're going to talk about a little bit here about discretion and how that, and the way that we perceive truth and how that we should receive truth. It's not an option with God. He expects us to hear and obey. I love the hymn, you know, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." That's what God wants to see from us. And again, sometimes, you know, quite unhappily, we see people move away because it becomes a doctrinal issue that they couldn't stand for. I worked with a man in the jail here at FCC for maybe a year, and I corresponded with him down at Florence, Arizona, in the jail down there till he got out, 3-4 years. When he got back up here, he came and was a part of our church, but while he was down there in Florence, besides the doctrinal, the material I was sending them, they had a heavy, Calvinist influence. And so he came up here carrying that false doctrine. He started sharing it with people and trying to convince people that what he believed was true scripture, and he had to go. The Bible says, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? This church has been blessed with a high level of unity behind their pastors, behind their brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's something that needs to be. It's something that God certainly desires. And so in verse 3, he groups five important terms to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Wisdom, of course, as it enumerated there in verse 7, it's equated with salvation or saving grace. The philosopher Goethe said that wisdom is only found in truth. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And that's something that some people have a hard time with, cover to cover, that God's word is the truth, that it's all from God, it's given by the same inspired process, whether it was in the Old Testament times or New Testament. And so if you want to find truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only time I was taught this, one of the first things I was taught, and I remember Pastor Humphrey talking about this, the only way you can ever be 100% sure that the decision that you're making is right is if it's in the light and the dictates of God's word. If you can see it in God's book, that's it. You don't need to go any farther. Your flesh will tell you no. You want it, and you always want to go this way, that way. It doesn't work in the long run. The flesh will never be satisfied. So wisdom is something to be desired, and there is biblical wisdom. The wisdom that the world has, you can take a lot of it with a grain of salt. Justice, the term justice implies both a judge, a judgment, and a justifier. Benjamin Disraeli, who was a British prime minister back in the 19th century, he said that justice is truth in action. Now, there are so many nuances to justice, I can't really get into it, but justice is knowing the right thing and doing it. God's judgment is justice must be administered when man's law or God's law is violated. Man's law is imperfect, and its enforcement of justice is imperfect, but God's justice is perfect as himself. And we can trust it for each and every day, for every part of our life. We have to make judgments. The Bible says, judge not lest ye be so judged, but he also said that we must judge righteous judgment. And so this is where this matter of discernment, this is where this matter of discretion comes in. Because it's how what we have up here in our heart, in our mind, that determines the decisions that we're going to make in life. Equity is the impartial distribution of justice. It is the treating of a person according to justice and reason found in God's word. In Psalm 98, verse 9, it says, before the Lord, he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. One of my other chapters I really love in the Old Testament is Ezekiel chapter 18. It's probably one of the greatest chapters in the Bible that teaches personal accountability for sin. He goes over and over in that chapter. He says, "If let the righteous will be blessed, but the wicked will die." Again, it's the reiteration of if you hear and obey, then you'll have blessing. If you don't hear and obey, then you're going to receive cursing or God's judgment. And he goes to the children of Israel and he says, "You say that my ways aren't equal or fair." And then God says, "My ways are fair. They are equal, because where they're founded in Scripture, in God's Word itself. God never enforced anything that he hadn't already given them knowledge of what he wanted them to do." But they come again in the verse 29, the same thing. The people kept coming back to him. "You're not fair. You're not fair." Why? Because he was drawing the line with them about their sin. They didn't want to hear it. He said, "That's not fair. That's not fair." And God says, "I don't care. My ways are fair and right. Repent or pay for your sin." And so equity is an important concept that we understand about. God doesn't make any mistakes. His word is inviolate as he is in his holiness. And we must know and remember that. And again, verses 2 and 3, they contain the important truth that wisdom only comes through the instruction of God's word. That and the application thereof. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody has to go and instruct somebody, an individual, a soul, about the ways of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Somebody needs to go to them, like Paul did. Might have to go back and start talking to them about God as creator, to establish a foundation so that people will listen to the understand who they are and who God is. The Bible says, and this is one of my favorite verses too, I use it all the time. It says that the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That's what it means to perceive, to see things as they are. You know, back in the 60s, well, not too many of you can relate with the 60s, but there was, I couldn't believe I went over to Vietnam, was gone for 25 months. I got back and it was just like, I couldn't believe the stuff that was going on, you know. And it's like, you know, you'd see people, there was a song that talked about rose-colored glasses. And you'd see people going around. I saw them, yeah, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, you got those rose-colored glasses on, it might make the world look all nice and rosy, but that's not reality. Reality is cut in stone, beginning with the Ten Commandments. And, you know, we need to be able to see things as they are. That's this matter of discerning and having discretion about what is brought before us. You know, we every day we're confronted with decisions, some major, some minor. But I'll tell you what, you better have the right perspective on who God is and who you are before you get out running around in life. Because there's no do-overs. There's no Mario Brothers. There's no push the reset button. You need to know and understand that even from the time of before your salvation, you should be lining up your beliefs and your thoughts with what's in this book. Wear it out. Wear it out. That first Bible I got from the church, I still got it. My dog got after it one time and ate some of the pages, but it's still there and I still use it. Just get another one. I went through a lot of Bibles. Wear them out. Read them. Don't ever let them get dusty, and there's nothing stale in this book. Open your eyes to it. Expose yourself to it. Take it in. Drink it in. Find the life that's in there for you. The personal blessing that you can have by, you know, many times, you know, when I was working some hard jobs, long hours and stuff, I used to all carve out, I was teaching the Bible Institute, teaching Sunday school, going into jail and so on. And I had to study. But when I would think about coming home and studying, my heart would just leap. The Holy Spirit is saying, well, yeah, boy, you get home, you get after it. I'll be with you. And he blessed me so many times for hours and hours and hours beyond what I deserve. To know his touch is the greatest thing I know. And to be teachable, again, Pastor Demlo made the observation that some people just aren't teachable, and, you know, you just have to leave them off. But in truth, we are what we believe. Being a Baptist is not about a name, it's about doctrine. Yeah. If it's Baptist, it's Bible. If it's Bible, it's Baptist. And if it isn't, there's nothing else in between. There's no room for anything else. Again, you know, you can don't get so hung up on commentaries and stuff like that. You know what the best commentary in the world is? The Bible itself. You can trust that for everything. I remember years ago I was doing some study on a certain topic. I can't remember what it was. And I looked at some of the old preachers, some of the old commentaries. And I looked at about 4, 5, 6 of them, and they all pretty much said the same thing. And then I saw 3 of them that were exactly the same, word for word. So somebody was just copying what somebody else thought. Well, what if they weren't right? Well, in the case that I investigated, they weren't right. But the Bible doesn't contradict itself. It builds upon the truth that is founded on. And we are what we believe, but we are known by how we act. And so that's why that dreaded D word, I don't have any of my former Sunday school kids. Maybe Jock, yeah, you were in my Sunday school. You were probably a little bit. I used to tell them about the dreaded D word, discipline. Oh, there he is. He remembers. You're either going to discipline yourself in this life, or God or man is going to discipline you. So it's better to learn to have self-control and discipline, moral, spiritual discipline. And it's important to be able to show to the world who you are. The more that I'm around, you know, I get out around and I see lost people and I'm with them, I don't get out very much, but it just grieves me to see the way people live and act around their children, around husbands, around their wives. It just grieves me to show that somebody has so little care and concern for such precious relationships. And so the knowledge and application of the above mentioned characteristics tempered with discretion are what make up our personal character. Second Samuel, verse 16, we know that talking about when God sent Samuel to anoint David, after all his big, tough, strong, macho brothers, Samuel said, nope. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on David now. He said, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And see, you know, he knows you and I better than we'll ever know ourselves. He knows how to bring blessing to you and my life that beyond what we could ever imagine, if we're simply willing, because he sees the heart. What he wants to see is a heart like what, you know what Paul made the difference in his life? In the way that he could minister, he could go in shipwrecks and beatings and torture and everything, and in jails so many times, you know, it was like a swinging door for him. But he never quit, because he wasn't focused this way, he was focused this way. When he said, when he wrote, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," he meant that. That's something that we should emulate too. Megan did a nice card for me that had that verse on it, and I look at it just about every day, because I need it. I need to be reminded of that. And to refrain my feet from going places that they shouldn't go. And so discretion, this is talks about discernment, which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution. A good man will guide his affairs with discretion. Psalm 112, verse 5 says, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion." Rewind back to the prudent man. He is a man that has himself squared away. He has a mindset of following the dictates of Scripture. He disciplines himself to make decisions in accord with what he knows comes from this book. Pastor Humphrey did some good lessons and messages on about how that, you know, that we can, there's principles. What's the other one? There's principles and precepts. And you can find the answers to those within this book too. There's the commandments and the principles and precepts, and you can find within the Bible those things that you can use as a key to give you an answer, to give you answers to the problems that you're confronted with. Discretion is also the power of acting without control other than one's own judgment. And that can be dangerous unless you're filtering your decisions, your life, through the dictates of God's word. Then you can get into trouble. Again, I heard that term about discretion is the better part of valor. Really, what's being talked about there is to be more cautious. Discretion is looking. You know, there was an old song, rock song years ago, Ricky Nelson did. He said, "Fools rush in where wise men never go." Huh. Well, he sure wasn't a Christian, but he sure had said something that was true there. Sometimes, that's not to say that there isn't times when we have to react, you know, instantaneously or quickly when we're confronted with a situation, but the truth is that we need to sometimes make a considered decision. Again, look to what God's word says. If you don't know what God's word says, you have Pastor Humphrey, you got two pastors here, go talk to them, lay it on their heart. They'll take care of you. There's no sense being in the dark on something when you have the means to get wisdom. And so this discretion that Solomon desired for his son was the ability to make wise decisions in life based upon the dictates of Holy Scripture. And we know that when Solomon came before God, and he was being anointed to take over the kingship, he didn't ask for riches and so on, but he asked for wisdom and being able to deal with that great nation. And so God gave him that wisdom. He was accorded as being the wisest man in the world in his early ministry, kingship. But when he left off following God's word, he fell on his face pretty bad. He lived a lot of years for the flesh. And but even Solomon, you know, God was merciful to him. He was merciful to him that towards the end of his life, Solomon's heart was turned. But at the end of that book of Ecclesiastes, one of Pastor Humphrey's favorite books, and I know I take a lot out of it there too, you know, that whole is a lament about how that he's so lamented, vanity of vanity, all his vanities. He said, all I lived for was vanity, is emptiness. But then at the end of that book, he says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it is the good or it is the evil. Solomon was, I think we all got a little bit of Solomon, and I hope that we have a lot of Solomon in his early years when he was willing to, when he sold himself out 100% to his God. Ezekiel 44:23 says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. You can learn discernment, you can learn discretion, you can make it a practice. It's hard work, but it's a work that you'll be blessed in following. One of the hallmarks of a great leader is the characteristic of discretion. For leadership so much involves making wise decisions. Then too, we all need a large measure of this trait if we're to please God by making decisions in the light of his word. So see things as they are, perceive them in a scriptural way, and receive the instruction of wisdom. Make yourself teachable, okay? Put yourself in a position where you'll be open, ready, prepared to receive truth, and then to apply it into your life. Again, he said to his son, the young man, that he wished for him to have knowledge in the instruction of wisdom. It all starts with hearing God's word, believing on it, and then applying it. There's nothing greater that you can know than having God as your Savior. That's the true wisdom. That's where it all starts. God wants to bring blessing to our life, but God's blessing is conditional upon us, our obedience to him and his word. And he sees that heart, you know. I thank God for that. You know, I got a wicked heart, but God still sees, he still sees that part of me, of my heart, that it's trying to please him. You know, I only knew my dad for 9 years. I was with him when he had a heart attack and died. But I loved him so much, and I just wanted to please my dad about more than anything. Worked with him every day on the farm. Well, he's gone, but I have my God as my Savior, and he's with me every day. I look forward to the day when I step out of this world, Lord, that he'll be pleased with this old soul's service. So, how about going in and practicing some of these Bible study methods? Get yourself a portion of Scripture and take it apart. You know, words are used to paint pictures, and pictures that can stick in our mind. Unless you have real understanding, you can't apply the dictates of God's word. So put yourself to it. Okay, what do you want me to do now?